U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross says he has made his decision. The 2020 census will contain the question, are you a U.S. citizen? It's a question that hasn't appeared on the census for most households since 1950. Ross says it's necessary to gather data to enforce the Voting Rights Act, but others say it's a deliberate effort to suppress the response from Hispanics and hurt the states where they make up a significant portion of the population. Since Ross made his announcement, two states, California and New York, have filed lawsuits to stop it, and more are expected to follow. Later in the show, we'll be getting analysis from Margo Anderson. She's a distinguished professor of history and urban studies at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and the author of The American Census, A Social History. But first, we get the latest on this fast-developing story from Andrew Rastuccia. He's a White House reporter at Politico. And I imagine a number of you are going to want to weigh in on that question this morning. Specifically, do you think the citizenship question on the 2020 census is a common sense request for information on the makeup of the U.S. population, or do you view it as an attempt to discourage Hispanics from participating, which could cut the number of representatives and electoral college votes in states like California? Do you think Hispanics in the current political climate will believe that the answers that they give on the census form will not be shared with immigration authorities? You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Andrew Rastuccia, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
The Commerce Department announced Monday that it would add that question about citizenship, which met some swift pushback from critics. The Department of Justice sent a request in December asking for it. What is the goal behind this from the administration?
Well, the administration's point is actually a little bit counterintuitive, I think, for the critics of this move. They're basically arguing that it's necessary to protect voters under the Voting Rights Act. And they basically argue that it's a pretty common sense decision, that they want to have an accurate count of immigrants and citizens and non-citizens in this country, and they maintain that there's no nefarious reason for this.
Well, that question was actually on the census up until 1950, which, you know, if you read the memo from Wilbur Ross, he talks not about adding a new question but reinstating it.
Right, and in his memo actually says the reinstatement of a citizenship question will not decrease the response rate of residents who already decided not to respond. I mean, his argument is, you know, this isn't going to change anything. Now, of course, you know, activists, experts, others maintain that's not true at all, right? I mean, that any immigrant, legal or non-legal or undocumented, will think twice about putting down their status. Technically, it's illegal to use census data to deport any individual, but there's this climate of fear in the United States and parts of the United States now as a result of the administration's tough talk on cracking down on immigration. And there's a strong sense among experts that this could backfire.
Well, we do live in an era of stepped-up response against undocumented immigrants by ICE and law enforcement, and we've heard that some Hispanics are already afraid to answer the door and talk to government officials. And that's a different atmosphere, isn't it, than back in 1950 when the question was last asked?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, there are stories in the news every day now about people being forcibly deported. There is, if you talk to various Hispanic communities around the country, there is a palpable sense of uncertainty about what the president is going to do next in terms of his immigration policy. So I think it is very much a different atmosphere than in the early 1900s. It's certainly a highly charged issue at the moment.
Well, federal law prohibits sharing census data with immigration officials, but how do you convince a frightened Hispanic population of that?
I mean, I think it's difficult, right? I mean, there are lots of things that happen in this country that are surprising, and there's a lot of things that have happened over the last several months that people didn't think would happen, you know, just several years ago. So I think it is a difficult sell, and if it's just an issue of not filling out a form, it seems like a simple choice for someone who's concerned about whether or not they're going to be deported.
Well, meanwhile, the Attorney General of California followed up on this news by suing the Trump administration, saying the question would botch the census. He's been joined by the Attorney General of New York State. And do we expect other states to follow suit?
Yeah, the Massachusetts Attorney General, Maura Healey, has signaled that she's also going to join this lawsuit from New York. The former Attorney General of the United States under Obama, Eric Holder, has also signaled that he will sue over this. I mean, we're going to see this play out in the courts with an aggressive strategy to nix this question altogether over the next several weeks. But keep in mind, you know, the 10-year census is coming soon, so this is going to have to move through the courts quite quickly.
And what are their concerns specifically in California and New York? Why does this affect them?
So, I mean, think about the census, right? I mean, it you know, constitutionally, it's required that you have, you know, a regular count of the population. It doesn't say a regular count of just citizens. It's everyone in this country. And census data is used for everything, right? It's used to redraw congressional districts. It's used to designate seats in the House of Representatives. It's used to distribute federal funds. But the private sector uses it. Pollsters rely on it. Companies use demographic data to decide whether where they're going to place a business in which parts of the country. And there's a real concern that if you don't have an accurate count of the population, that all those things could be skewed. And particularly in places like California, there's a concern that if you don't count minorities, whether they're legal or not, you could actually affect their representation in Congress.
And not only affect their representation in Congress, but if they lose a congressional seat, that means they also lose an electoral college vote, so it could affect the next presidential election.
Exactly. There are these sort of ramifications that just sort of build on each other over time.
Couldn't this also potentially affect a conservative state like Texas, which has a large Hispanic population?
Absolutely, right? I mean, any state with a large Hispanic population could ultimately be affected by this. And that's why when you talk to experts, this isn't necessarily a partisan issue in the sort of community of people who follow the census. You know, people who rely on this data just want an accurate count. And then you can decide what to do with that data from there.
Let's take a phone call. We've got John in Sturgeon Bay who's got a question for Andrew Restuccia. John, you are on the morning show.
Hi, good morning. Great topic. Just a question for your guest. Do you know if it's simply going to be a yes or no question? I guess I don't understand. There's a lot of people that are maybe not considered U.S. citizens but are going through the long and arduous and broken immigration system that we have to actually come here legally, and it takes years to do that. My son-in-law, being from Spain, you know, we automatically gravitate towards Mexico with this discussion, but what about the people who aren't really legal citizens yet, but they're doing everything to go through the process and are here legally?
All right, John, thanks so much for the question. Andrew, is it going to be a simple yes or no question?
Yeah,
on the census?
It's my understanding that it'll be a simple yes or no question, and that could change. I think they're working out the specifics. But you make a good point. I mean, there are lots of people who are living in this sort of in a little bit of a limbo right now in terms of citizenship status. There are people who are working through legal avenues, for example, the Dreamers. You know, if you're a Dreamer and you came here as illegally as a minor, you know, and you're working through the process, you have a Social Security number. I mean, you have documentation, but you're still technically not a full citizen. So, I mean, there are this could affect lots of people who are going through legal avenues to become citizens.
And you know, you can make the point that this is a nonpartisan debate or concern, but the president has been actively campaigning on the opposition to the question. His reelection campaign sent out an email to supporters that read, "The president wants the 2020 U.S. Census to ask people whether or not they are citizens in another era. This would be common sense." But 19 attorneys general said they would fight the president if he dares to ask people if they are citizens. The president wants to know if you're on his side. So, you know, conceivably, they're already raising money over this question on the U.S. Census.
Exactly. And you know, though the White House is saying this is not a partisan issue, I mean, this will and is reverberating, you know, across the sort of conservative echo chamber in the United States. And it's being used to sort of rally the president's supporters. I mean, this issue of immigration is the issue that animated the president's base And even if this decision, you know, wasn't partisan, you know, from the Commerce Department, there's no doubt that it's going to be viewed by the president's supporters in a very positive light.
Thank you so much, Andrew, for being with us today.
Thank you.
Andrew Restuccia is a White House reporter at Politico. He joined us to dig into the news that the Trump administration has decided to add a citizenship question to the 2020 U.S. Census. Next, we'll be talking to a social historian about how this move compares to past changes for the census and its implication for states with large Hispanic populations. It's The Morning Show. I'm Glenn Mobergen for Kate Archer Kent. We'll be back with much more after this news. It's The Morning Show. I'm Glenn Mobergen for Kate Archer Kent. Today we're discussing the controversy over the addition of a seemingly innocuous question on the 2020 U.S. Census. Are you a U.S. citizen? Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross says it's necessary to enforce the Voting Rights Act and get an accurate picture of the American population. But critics say it's an effort to suppress Hispanic response and hurt states where they make up a significant part of the population. California and New York are suing to stop it. For analysis now, we're joined by Margo Anderson. She is a distinguished professor of history and urban studies at UW-Milwaukee and also the author of the book, The American Census, A Social History. We do want to hear from you. What do you think of this question on the census? Do you think it's just a common sense request for information? After all, it was on the census as far back as 1950. But do you think Hispanics in the current political climate will believe that the answers that they give on that census form will not be shared with immigration authorities? How do you think it could affect the balance of political power in the country? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Margo, thanks so much for being with us today.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
And what is the history of that citizenship question? When has it been on the census before?
Okay. There are many, many questions on the census now, and many have gone on and off. The citizenship question has been put on the census periodically and taken off periodically, depending upon usually what issues are going on immigration. The most important period of collecting data on immigration in the U.S. is roughly from 1890 to about 1950, when it was on the main census form. And then it was dropped in 1960, and it was put back on what was called the sample or the long form in 1970, which is where it's remained ever since. So we do collect data on citizenship on the population now, and now we do it in a survey that's connected to the census called the American Community Survey, but that's a sample survey, not a complete count that goes to everybody in the country.
Margo, let's step back just a moment and get a little bit of the backstory here. Mm-hmm. What is the role of the U.S. Census in our country? Why do we do it?
The census is actually mandated in the Constitution on Article 1, Section 2, Paragraph 3, written in 1787. And it was the solution then to the problem of how did these colonies, who had just fought a successful war with Britain, allocate their new sort of political responsibilities among themselves, namely representation in the Congress, in the House of what became the House of Representatives and the Electoral College, and at that point as well, tax capacity. So the census was, the language in the Constitution was, representatives in direct taxation shall be apportioned according to their respective numbers. And the numbers was the population count or the census, starting in 1790 and done every 10 years since.
Was there a citizenship question on that their very first census that was conducted?
Nope.
There was not.
No. No. So, it was a very modest exercise, and it grows as the government figures out how to do it, and as different public policy questions come up and and Congress requests for new information.
What was the rationale behind adding that question in the mid-19th century?
Well, it's actually the late, but okay. So in 1850, by 1850, Congress in particular, which played a much more important role in the day-to-day, you know, in actually shaping the questions asked, by 1850, this Congress wanted to know where people were born because there was a lot of migration, both international and domestic. So the first question they put on the census was, where were you born? By state, or if you were born overseas, what country? And so that, for example, if you were living in Wisconsin in 1850, there's a likelihood you might have been born in New York or Connecticut or Germany or so forth. So that was what they were looking for. By 1890, they begin to add questions. They ask about where your parents were born. And then by the late 19th century, when there's very large patterns of immigration, they ask, well, if you are foreign-born, and it's only asked of the foreign-born, have you become a citizen? Have you taken out your, what was called at that point, first papers? When did you come to the country? What language do you speak? So there were a whole slew of questions added in that late 19th to the early 20th century phase. And then after we end open immigration in 1924, those questions begin to be slowly eliminated, or we shorten them, and we ask them only of the sample. And that's sort of what happened to the citizenship question.
When was the question taken off and why?
Well, this is a great mystery at the moment because it was on the 1950 census, and in the 1940s and 50s, probability sampling, what we call today public opinion polling methods, were being developed, and so the census in general was moving toward putting as much of the questions as they could on to what came to be called the long form of the sample, and so citizenship. Was, as I said, was asked of everybody in 1950. There weren't very the proportion of the foreign-born was actually, and of immigrants, unnaturalized immigrants, was actually rather small. In 1960, it wasn't asked at all, except for in New York State, which I can explain. And in 1970, after another round of immigration legislation in 1965, it was put back on the sample. And along with questions about housing and, journey to work and for mothers, how many children you've had, what was called children ever born and so forth. So it wasn't considered separately. It was considered in the context of a more general movement toward sampling in the census.
Now, Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said this is a question that's been included in every census since 1965, with the exception of 2010 when it was removed. National Public Radio says the statement is inaccurate, mm-hmm. incomplete, and misleading. What's your perspective?
I haven't heard her statement, but it was not asked in 2010. And it was, again, I think the issue is between 1970 and 2000, the way the sample questions on the census were done was in something called the long form. Okay, so that everybody, so when the census came to your in the mail or an enumerator came, households got one or two different kinds of forms, a short one or a long one, and the citizenship question was always on the long one. After 2000, the Bush administration actually implemented an innovation in data collection called the American Community Survey. That survey is now done every year annually, and so the questions on what was called the old long form go on to that new survey, American Community Survey. It's considered part of the census program, but it meant that in 2010, there was only a short form for the population, and it was called, I mean, the slogan at the time was 10 questions in 10 minutes. So I think there may be some confusion about the relationship between the American Community Survey questionnaire and the main census short form census questionnaire.
All right, very good. We're talking to Margo Anderson. She's an expert on the U.S. Census, and we're talking specifically about the new question that's going to be added, are you a U.S. citizen, and its potential political ramifications on states with large Hispanic populations, where critics think some of those people may not be willing to answer the census at all. We've got a lot of callers on the line right now. Let's go to George in Milwaukee. George, you're on the morning show with Margo Anderson.
Yes, good morning. I'm wondering if there's any law that prevents other government agencies from gaining specific information about individuals on the census. I know that the public cannot see that information for like 72 years. I wonder if that's true for government agencies as well.
Yes, it is. There's what is called Title 13 of the United States Code, which is the statutory basis for the Census Bureau, bars the distribution of individual information from any census, whether it's economic or popular or demographic, to another agency or to the public. And as you say, after 72 years, we make the census forms, the population census form, available. You know, we give the forms to the National Archives, and they make them public.
Thank you so much for the call, George. 1-800-642-1234. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can email us at ideas@WPR.org. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We're talking specifically about the citizenship question, which will be added to the 2020 census. Do you think it will affect Hispanic representation? And do you think it will affect the political clout of states like California, which could lose a representative and perhaps an electoral college vote if they are undercounted? Let's go to Barry and Spooner. Barry, you're on the morning show with Margo Anderson.
Good morning. And to kind of follow up on what you just said, we're a representation government of the U.S. citizens. And if we're counting non-citizens towards our representation, that's no different than any other foreign involvement. It's supposed to be the House of Representatives, not of other people, but representing the voters. So it's confusing and blows my mind that that's controversial, that we shouldn't count that towards the Electoral College and our representative government.
Mary, thanks so much for the phone call. Margo Anderson, exactly how do we determine representation? Is it based on total population or just on the population of U.S. citizens?
Your caller has raised a question that has been debated and litigated and legislated about since 1787. The framers of the Constitution, when they wrote the Constitution, actually discussed this. And what they decided at that point was that they would count everyone and that they would make the apportionment count on the total population. Of course, we also know that when they came to the issue of slaves, which were a substantial portion of the American population at that point, they actually put in a caveat that said, and we will count all the slaves, but we will discount the slave population of a state by 40%, so it was called the Three-Fifths Compromise, but the southern states received representation for their slaves, who, again, had no political representation, nor did, by the way, women, nor did many, nor did children, nor did many, many men, white men at the time, because there were most states had property qualifications for voting at that point. So this has been debated over and over again, and the consensus in law has been to use the total population. Congress and the courts can change that if they wish, but they have not.
So slaves, of course, were not U.S. citizens, but they were counted anyway for the purposes of representation.
And they were also represented in Congress.
Yeah, in order to give more political power to the southern states, where slavory was a factor.
And by the way, again, because the compromise was because, of course, it was connected to the tax system at the time, and that nobody denied that slave labor wasn't an important economic engine for the Southern economy, Northerners were willing to agree to this because they wanted the Southern states to pay taxes on the basis of their slave populations. So it's a very complicated issue.
Let's go to Annalisa in Green Bay. Anna, you are on with Margo Anderson.
My question is, why wouldn't somebody lie about this? I mean, they don't ask to see your papers or anything, do they? I do believe this is going to cause people to be undercounted if they put this question in. But is there, if they just ask, are you a citizen, you could just lie about it, too. That's my question.
Annalisa, thanks so much for the phone call. Margo?
I think this raises an interesting set of questions that I don't yet have answers to. So you asked, when you described what the Bureau is doing, what the Secretary has recommended, is putting a question on the form saying, are you a U.S. citizen? I haven't seen the actual language of the question. So I don't know whether they're going to ask it the way it's currently asked on the American Community Survey. In other words, where were you born? And then if you are born outside the country, are you a citizen? Are you naturalized? And so forth. So I think there's a lot of unanswered questions about the mechanics of it yet. The second issue is, as you say, what will happen when people give either no answer or an inaccurate answer? And the Census Bureau and survey researchers will probably, if this question, you know, and still do, you know, will take other data sources. In other words, we have citizenship data on the immigrant population from the naturalization process. So we know how many people go through that process. We will be able, we don't know, of course, you know, we know when somebody naturalized where they were, but we don't know where they're going to live, you know, 20, 30, 40 years later. So that's a little, it's complicated. But we should be able to develop methods of evaluating whether, after the census, whether this is, you know, how the data are. The problem is that's a little bit too late if, in fact, there are wide swings in the response processes. And so most of the professionals that I'm, you know, in touch with are suggesting that we should be testing this question right now. In other words, and that hasn't happened. There's a dress rehearsal for the census in the field right now in Rhode Island, and to my knowledge, the question about are you a citizen is not on the test.
Annalisa, thanks so much for the phone call. We're talking about the decision to add the question, are you a U.S. citizen, to the 2020 census, and the political fallout from those who think it's an effort to suppress Hispanic participation. We'll be back with more from Margo Anderson, a distinguished professor of history and urban studies at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and the author of The American Census, A Social History. It's The Morning Show. I'm Glenn Mobrigan for Kate Archer Kent. We'll be back with more after this news. It's The Morning Show. I'm Glenn Mobrigan, in for Kate Archer-Kent. Today we're discussing the controversy over the addition of one simple question on the 2020 U.S. Census. Are you a U.S. citizen? The Justice Department says it's necessary to enforce the Voting Rights Act, but critics say it's an effort to suppress Hispanic response, and that could hurt states where they make up a significant part of the population. Two states are already suing, and we've got Margo Anderson with us to talk about all of this. She's a distinguished professor of history and urban studies at UW-Milwaukee and the author of the book, The American Census, A Social History. We'd like to hear from you. Do you think the question about citizenship should be included in the 2020 census? Or do you think it's an effort, a deliberate effort, to discourage Hispanics from participating, which could cut the number of representatives and electoral college votes in states like California and cut the amount of federal aid they receive? Give us a call if you've got an opinion at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Margo, if Congress changes hands in 2018 and is controlled by the Democrats, could they pass a bill taking the citizenship question out?
Yes, and of course the president could then veto it.
So that makes it a done deal, pretty much.
I'm not so sure. I mean, I think that we've just seen the beginning of a rather complicated legal and public discussion of this. I'm going to use the analogy of the debates that went on about how to improve the census for what was then the documented undercount of minorities and urban areas, which raged from the 70s until about 2000. All during the 90s, there were controversies over the Census Bureau design, and finally, Newt Gingrich, who was then leader of the House, sued Bill Clinton, and in the late 90s, and the case was decided by the Supreme Court in January of 1999. So the shape of the 2000 census, this wasn't over the question per se, but over the enumeration methodology, didn't really get settled until a year before the count. And so we may be in such a situation this time as well.
Now, I understand you've got concerns that it may just not be about undercounting Hispanics. It's about anybody who's an immigrant, Asians, Middle Easterners, mm-hmm. Europeans.
Mm-hmm. Yes. In other words, the great unknowns at this point is exactly how they're going to ask the question and then how the responding public will understand it. Back in the day, and let's say in 1950, when it was asked of everyone, we were using a methodology where an enumerator would, a census enumerator would come to your house. So if you didn't understand the question that was being asked, you and the enumerator chatted about it until, I see what you're asking. Good. Oh, here's my answer. Now we either use the mail or and in 2020, the big innovation was to use an internet option, which means that people, household heads who are going to respond, are sort of puzzling out, well, what do they mean by this, on their own? And the Census Bureau has managed that transition by mounting very, very large public relations and advertising campaigns to make and building support groups with what are called stakeholders, local governments, local community organizations, to get everybody on board before the count. That process has been underfunded this round. In other words, there hasn't been the money appropriated to get it going compared to previous rounds. And of course, this new question throws a real monkey wrench into the cooperative relationships that have to exist between communities and local organizations, governments and otherwise, and the federal government on this matter. So that's a trick that, that's why this is problematic. How are we going to do it?
Amy from Beloit called. She says her in-laws are Hispanic and have long lineage as citizens of the United States. Mm-hmm. She says she's concerned people won't be honest about their Hispanic background because she knows they're feeling singled out. And Margo, we do live in an era of stepped up enforcement against undocumented mm-hmm. immigrants by ICE and law enforcement. Some Hispanics already afraid to answer the door and talk to any government officials. How do you convince them that federal law prohibits sharing census data with immigration officials?
That's exactly why we need this large public relations and liaison campaign, because usually the way the Census Bureau and the federal government manages that is that they work with trusted local officials, so church groups and community organizations and student groups and whoever it happens to be, to raise awareness about, well, why are we doing this, sort of the same conversation we're having now, so that, on April 1st, 2020, when the census form comes, or the little card, the little postcard with your number to type into your smartphone comes, you go, you already know how to answer and what to answer, and you trust it. And that's what we have to get to as a society between now and the spring of 2020.
We had a call from Dick in Middleton, and he had to drop out. But his comment was, this is really just a common sense question that we're asking people. Are you a U.S. citizen? It's information we should all have. And he says Democrats are probably worried about losing representation. And, you know, so what?
Right. And that's and if we had some good survey research testing of to show that was the case, I think we would all be reassured. What we don't know is, because we have evidence from other survey research things, is whether that's true or not. So, the as I said, I think what we are about to do is start a very complicated discussion over this. And if it turns out that people don't see it as a controversial question, fine, they'll answer it. If they do, then the question comes because of how it impacts not only the you know, the representation and apportionment, but all the other things the census sort of underpins. And, you know, we use it to estimate the number of you know, students in school systems. We use it for the denominators for unemployment statistics and population estimates and so forth. So it's a it has you know, mortality and fertility rates, all sorts of things. That's how they found the undercount, the, you know, the minority undercount at first, because the birth and death rates for minorities were understood to be affected by the denominator, namely the census count.
Let's go to Sarah in Zion. Sarah, you're on the morning show with Margo Anderson.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Hey, that is really interesting that it's used for those other purposes. I did not know that. And I have a comment and a question. And my comment is that immigrants, even the illegal immigrants, are contributing to the economy, and they are doing jobs that a lot of industries can't fill otherwise. And they are contributing to the economy, and they're paying taxes. They're even paying income taxes. And so they deserve representation, in my opinion. And I want to ask the guest also what you think the likelihood of, like, how the courts are might rule on this.
Marco?
As I said, I think several states filed suit yesterday. My sense is that they will work through the courts. It will take a while, because what we don't know yet is whether there were what are called, you know, arbitrary or capricious decision-making underlying this, which I'm sure is what they're going to challenge. So I think the, you know, lawyers are best designed to answer that question. I mean, I will say that, you know, in the during the undercount controversies of the, you know, late 20th century, New York and California filed suit in 1987 against what they saw as an arbitrary decision, counting decision, and in fact the courts agreed with them, so that the 1990 census was undertaken with an oversight of a board set up by the courts to make sure that the count went well. Now, most of us don't remember that, because that was the you know, that was the solution. That might be a model here. In other words, if the courts find the suits to have merit, then you set up a procedure to work out exactly what we're going to do and how we're going to do it.
And we've got a Tom in Oconomowoc. He called and says, he says this is a move from Republicans to stay in power, and he asks, are census questions used for partisan purposes?
Well, the census is, because of the Constitution, designed to reapportion seats in the House of Representatives and the Electoral College. So let me make a distinction that a former census director has made. The counting process is not political, right? It's supposed to be consensus. We're all supposed to understand it and agree to it. that once the numbers come in, of course there will be political implications of it, because the census means you take political power away from states and local areas that are not growing as fast as others. And so, you know, in living memory, Wisconsin has lost a congressional seat after 2000 because its population did not grow as fast as the populations in other states, particularly in the South, Texas and Florida and so forth. So, and insofar as there is a political tilt there, in other words, that there is that the places that are growing faster have a different political orientation, of course, it's going to have political benefits and detriments to somebody else. So
we have to stop it there. We're completely out of time. Mm-hmm. Margo Anderson, a distinguished professor of history and urban studies at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and the author of The American Census, A Social History. Thanks also to Andrew Restucia, a White House reporter at Politico. The Morning Show, produced by Brianne Shawsaw and Keely Baltina. Michelle Johnson is our executive producer. Michael Deringer provided technical direction. I'm Glenn Mobergen for Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show.